about, you know, the bone coming to bone and flesh to flesh, and the picture that is here in the passage that that George read for us is one of four things coming together, and they're like corner posts that build this home, this household of faith called the church, a vital, alive, dynamic family of faith. Four very important corner posts. And it's in the passage that George read, in that opening part of it, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. Understand, these are not things that you can pick or choose, the four that are here. You can't sort of, oh, I like that one, but we'll drop that one. We'll set that one aside. We'll ignore that one. That one's wonderful. We'll take that. No, the four pieces need to connect. They need to be related one to another to support the life that we are to share by God's design in the risen Jesus. There's to be, first of all, this strong commitment to teaching, learning God's Word. Now, that's not just on Sunday mornings and what we do here in the hour or so that we have, whether here or even in the Sunday school, but it's through the week. It's in our homes and our families. It's in the small gatherings like that, in the Dust of the Rabbi series. It's in those small gatherings of the church family. What's being held up high here is of real importance. This first corner post is the sense, heightened sense of the need to be a learner, someone who's always growing in the knowledge and understanding of their faith, of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus, to actively follow in a committed way in the way of Jesus. We're to be a people who are growing, stretching ourselves, moving forward in all of that. And we do that by devoting ourselves to the Word of God, to understanding God's Word. Now, if we're not doing that, if that's not an essential and core part of our purpose and our identity as God's people, this corner post, then we're going to revert to the old way of thinking, understanding things that we had before we came to faith in Christ. That will be one that's not shaped so much by Jesus as it is by the culture and the world that we live in. We want to be people who have our whole view and understanding of life shaped, crafted, formed by Jesus. And so we devote ourselves to understanding God's Word about what it means to follow Christ. There's also to be a strong commitment, another corner post, to the fellowship. I thank God for the wonderful, rich friendships that are a part of our church family. And fellowship is certainly that. That's certainly a dimension of fellowship, friendship. But fellowship is more than that. The fellowship that we have is in the Spirit of Jesus. There's a spiritual bond that we form and have in Christ with each other that strengthens us, that sustains us, that holds us secure in our faith. To not have that fellowship, that unity, that relatedness in Christ by His Spirit, it's like we're a coal or an ember in the fire that's removed and we're left on the hearth on our own. What's going to happen? We're going to burn out. And there'll be no life. Death will be there. So fellowship is like being in the fire, where there's this spiritual encouragement that we offer and give to one another in the faith that we share. It's that understanding hug or the email or the card or the visit. It's the prayer. It's the learning together. It's the life of worship together. It's the connection of faith as well as friendship, but deeply, primarily of faith that holds us together in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's also the commitment, strong one, to sharing, another corner post of this household or family of faith, of sharing meals together, and in particular, the Lord's Supper. When we come together to the table of the Lord, we're remembering the death and the resurrection of Jesus. We forget that. We miss that. We don't have that as part of our life and commitment. We neglect the observance of it. And what it means is that we're going to end up failing to have Jesus at the very center of everything about who we are and what we do. It's Jesus' death and resurrection that really form our identity. We're going to lose our focus. It's eating, it's drinking together at the table of Jesus that's to be our largest, our deepest experience. This is incredible, friends, of the, you know, these moments that we have, they may seem formal in some sense, but they're so deep and alive and rich of the merger of heaven and earth together. In that moment when we eat and drink together of the Spirit of God working in our midst. And then there's to be the strong commitment, another corner post to prayer. It makes no sense for us, as we did last Sunday, to pray the Lord's Prayer, "Let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven," if we're not placing a high priority on praying together as God's people, believing that the kingdom of God is here, that the kingdom of God has come in Jesus, and the kingdom of God is also coming, we are energized by the Spirit of God. Awake, awake, my soul, energized by the Spirit of God to pray, and then to pray, and then to pray more, because everything within us lives and breathes, yearns and longs and desires for this to happen, this merger, this coming together of heaven and of earth. And so we pray it. We pray for this merger over our homes and our families, over our fathers and our mothers. I said it in the email when I sent it out, but you know, I actually have it written in my notes here, and I wrote this on Thursday. I wrote about Harry Williams right here. Because Harry and I had this commitment one to another that we would pray together once a week, whether on the phone or in person. It used to be once a week, and he would try and get up the stairs at the side door. They're barely able to do it. But then it became by phone when he was in Brantford, and I would try to get out there once every 3 weeks or so to pray with him. And invariably, I tell you, friends, his first question always to me was, "How are the children of Knox doing?" He prayed for the children in the Sunday school. It was probably the biggest prayer burden that he carried, was for the children of Knox in their Sunday school classes. We pray for the kingdom of God to come and his will to be done in those classes this morning as it is in heaven. We pray for God's kingdom to come and his will done over the schools and the businesses, over the employers and the community. We pray it over our city and our province and our country. We pray for God's will to be done in this election that we're part of now, for the election of an MPP from our different ridings. We pray for God's will to be done here on earth as it is in heaven in the coming city election, be it in Burlington or in Hamilton, for the council members, for the mayor. We pray it over the countries and the nations and the peoples of this world. And when these four are flourishing, when they're alive and awake, 1, 2, 3, 4, the learning, the growing in the Word of God, the fellowship that we have together, the commitment to gather at the Lord's table, the praying together, when all of that is functioning and happening as is God's design, something incredibly stunning happens. What happens is that you get a family. On this Mother's Day Sunday, sometimes called Christian Family Sunday, what this text is saying to us is that when these are alive and happening, you get a family. And all the believers met together in one place, and they shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day. They met in homes for the Lord's Supper. They shared their meals with great joy and generosity. Sometimes, when I end a conversation with someone, I will do it by giving them a well wish. Okay? You know, when you wish someone well, and my well wish will be to say to them something like this: "Doug, take care." It's my well wish for them. And what I'm saying is, Doug, look after yourself. Doug, keep safe. Doug, I hope everything goes well for you. Well, when the four things in this passage are the corner posts of this church family, that well wish of take care changes. And it becomes the take care of a commitment. Rather than wishing someone well, what we say is, I will be committed to take care, to look out for, to support, to be there for you. In the deepest sense of the word, what happens when those four are the corner posts of who we are and what we're about, we become family. Here's the deep and radical difference that being part of a church family is, that is committed to these four corner posts or pillars. What we have, hear this now, what we have belongs to the whole family. That's what this passage here tells us. Whenever there's a need, we're ready to share. Whenever there's a need, we're ready to help meet it. Whatever it's going to cost us, we're family. And so we give our time, and we give our talents and our gifts, and we give our financial resources. It's called looking after, committed to taking care of each other. It's called love. That's what it's called. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 9 and 10 in the Kingdom New Testament, and you say, oh, gee, I've never heard of that one. Well, it's another one of those translations. I like this one. It's by Tom Wright, N.T. Wright, a biblical scholar, professor at St. Andrews University in Aberdeen. But now about charitable concern for the whole family, I don't really need to write to you because you yourselves have been taught by God to show loving care for one another. Indeed, you're doing this for all the church family in the whole of Macedonia. But we urge you, my dear family, to make this an even more prominent part of your lives. I'm going to invite the praise team to come forward and be ready, because we're going to sing in just a moment. But I think what you have on the screen before you, as the praise team are coming forward, what you have there is an incredibly good word of God for us as followers of Jesus in this family of faith here at Knox. To make showing loving care for one another an even more prominent part of our life together. I really look forward to this, and I believe that the elders of our church family look forward to this as well. It's to hearing how God is nudging you, sharing the stories about how God is awakening you by His Spirit to making more prominent this call of loving care in our church family. How you believe this can happen, how you see this going forward, how you understand this to become an even more prominent part of what it means to say one to another, not the well wish, but the commitment prayer of take care. Take care. Take care.